بس.
I'm Nate Puterbaugh with your sports update. It was the first game in the Battle of Ohio last night, and it saw the Reds snap a 7-game road losing streak, beating Cleveland 7-6. Matt McClain drove in 3 runs in the victory. Game 2 of the series comes your way at 6:10. Chris Paddock is on the mound for the Reds, taking on the Guardians' Gavin Williams. Catch all the action right here on The Fan. Also in Cleveland last night, the Pistons staved off elimination, beating the Cavs 115-94. Game 7 comes your way Sunday night at 8. Also in the NBA, the Spurs eliminated the Timberwolves 139-109. Columbus Crew SC is in action this evening. They're out in Philadelphia tonight to take on the Union. Kickoff comes your way at 7:30. In the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight, Montreal looks to eliminate the Sabres at home. Puck drops at 8. And finally, out of the PGA Championship, Maverick McNealy and Alex Smalley lead at -4 with 13 golfers within 2 shots. The leaders tee off this afternoon at 2:40. Breaking sports news, weapons, and The Fan, Ohio Sports Destination.
This is Tee to Green, Central Ohio's premier golf show. Now here's your host, recipient of the Lifetime Achievement Award by the Southern Ohio PGA of America and Hall of Fame, The Fan's Own Skip Mossick.
And hi again, everybody. Good morning. Welcome into another edition of Tee to Green here on The Fan. Weather looks so today. Dry. We can get out there and play this morning. It looks great tomorrow, so hopefully there are some golf plans coming up in your future. PGA Championship happening this week outside of Philly. Alex Smalley and Maverick McNealy share the lead at the halfway point. We'll head to Aronimink shortly and check in with SI.com's Bob Herrig. And we have another great golf prize package to give away this week. Details on that shortly. But we are very happy to be broadcasting this morning from Muirfield Village Golf Club, the Memorial Tournament, just a couple of weeks away. Joined first up by Dan Sullivan, Executive Director of the Memorial 50-year anniversary. For the Memorial Tournament. Dan, first of all, good morning.
Good morning, Skip. Thanks for coming out here.
50 years. I mean, it's unbelievable. We touched on it last year, but it's amazing what this tournament has become over the years and what it continues to be.
It's absolutely unbelievable. You think the journey that it has taken over the 50, now 1 year, so we're celebrating the 50th anniversary, where Jack Nicklaus, as a late 20s young man, decided he wanted to bring something home to his hometown, accumulated over 2,000 acres worth of property to build a golf course on 220 acres. And the tournament started in 1976 with Jack being a 34-year-old guy and creating something that he thought would be a real benefit to the professional game and a benefit to Columbus and the general region, and it's turned out exactly that.
Wow, this tournament and event has always been so special throughout all the years. In what ways has it grown, would you say, the most in over 50 years?
I think it's maintained its, number one, maintained its position in the game as a prominent contributor to the professional game, and that's because of Jack's vision, the golf course, the town, how players are treated, and just how people have received it. I think what it's done over time is ensured that you can put a really good golf course in front of players, and I don't care what generation they are, they want to play it. Mm-hmm. And I think that we've been able to evolve over time and grow because of that. And the generational side on volunteers, on patrons, on our sponsors continues to maintain and grow, and that's what I think I'm most proud of, that we've been able to go over these decades and continue to grow.
We ask this every year, Dan. I mean, the place looks like we're ready to go right now. I'm sure there's lots of behind the scenes still getting ready for you in a couple of weeks. What are these last couple of weeks like for you?
Long hours for everybody, not just me, for everybody. Long hours in detail. Whether you're on the golf course with Chad Mark and his team, Nicholas LaRocca in the club, Peter Dornish on the professional side, our team working every different aspect of this tournament, whether it's the promotional side, whether it's the media side, whether it's volunteers, sponsors, patrons, it all needs to come together. We got an incredible team of over 13 dedicated staff on a year-round basis, but that grows mm-hmm. to over 25 to 30 as we can come into these weeks, and it's a really prideful moment when we see it all come together and everyone feeling good about what they've created.
Tickets, that's the most common question we get right now. Yeah. Tickets still available, best way to obtain, and I guess there are some others that will become available.
Yes, so badges are still available. You can go to the website and pick up any badge for any day. We sell them in a week long, but they are electronic, and they come in individual days, so you can buy the week long and pass them on to friends and family if you're not going to make it out here. We're launching on Monday something called the Gen 20, which has been really popular, so individuals in their 20s have a chance to buy a day ticket at a at a little bit of a discounted price. And that has really worked for us over time to just introduce the Memorial and professional golf in Columbus to a younger generation. And they've responded really well to it. It's a great. It's funny to see that they're not buying Thursday and Friday very much, but on Saturday, Sunday they are, because presumably they're working. So the tickets are available up and through, let's say, the Friday before.
Okay.
And we're doing great. The response has been tremendous. This community, golf fans around the region, really have responded well to it. We couldn't be more indebted to them.
Looked yesterday, Dan, Golden Bear Club, still a couple of those left as well?
There are. Okay. Yeah, the Golden Bear Club is a upscale hospitality ticket, a premium ticket in the middle of the golf course. It's like a sports bar in the middle of the golf course, a chance to get out of the warm weather or maybe a little bit of rain and come into an environment that offers up Cameron Mitchell food and a bar and TVs everywhere, and it's a really nice attraction.
This has started a number of years ago, but under 15, kids still get in with a ticket at adults?
Yeah, absolutely, and we promote that. You know, one thing we do on Wednesdays, we're inviting every high school boys and girls team from around the state, golf team around the state, to come free of charge with their parents or teachers or coaches. That has turned out to be a great thing. As of today, we just launched it 3 days ago, and there's over 2,000 tickets that have been downloaded to come here. So we really want to use those early parts of the week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, before competition starts, as a place where we can really celebrate all the various individuals and organizations that are important to us. So youth golf, just youth in general, the military. We really focus on Wednesday being a military appreciation, and folks have responded really well to it.
We're at Muirfield Village this morning, tee to green here on the Fan. The Memorial Tournament just a couple of weeks away. Joined by Executive Director Dan Sullivan this morning. Wednesday, you mentioned what all's happening. There's even more happening though on Wednesday. Cram so much in there. It's an awesome day.
We do.
Salute to service, junior golf, as you mentioned, the pro-am, honoree ceremony. Still have the tailgate as well.
Yeah. We wish we could spread it out a little bit. But we
awesome.
Wednesday turns out to be a great day. The Pro-Am, because of Workday's efforts as our partner, has brought another level to this Pro-Am from a celebrity and athlete standpoint. Mm-hmm. And fans have come to expect and appreciate those great celebrities that come in here. And so the Pro-Am acts as a backdrop to all the other things we do that day. We mentioned the military, Youth Day, the tailgate, which is inviting patrons to come in and have some pizza and listen to some athletes, not only in golf, but from around Ohio, hockey player, or whether it's the Blue Jackets or the Crew. Mm-hmm. I would say that we also, in the center of this, is our honoree ceremony, which is at 1:30, and David Graham this year is our honoree. We have a posthumous honoree, a gentleman named Alan Robertson, who Alan Robertson was old Tom Morris before old Tom Morris.
No kidding.
He's the first professional ever. And a really interesting story. None of us had ever heard of him around here. But our captain's club did a lot of research and thought that he was an appropriate recognition of his contribution to the game back in the early 1800s. And then we're recognizing Dave Shalosky is one of our own as the journalism honoree, and he's very well deserving.
And he's done so much work for Memorial Magazine throughout the years. And
no
obviously
question.
With Golf Digest, we had a chance to chat with David Graham last week. You can just hear
he was great.
Wasn't he good?
You had a really nice interview with him.
Thank you very much for saying
that. He was awesome.
You just tell the emotion that this means so much to him.
Yeah, there's no question about it. He and Jack are peers, very good friends. David was an incredible golfer that was somewhat missed because of all the great players that were part of his generation, and Jack and Arnold and Gary, and then Tom Watson. But he won two majors on his own. He won 8 different professional events, and a really strong contributor to the game in general. He was one of the first President's Cup captains and a really nice gentleman. Mm-hmm. He's going to bring a ton of people from Dallas up here who are big fans of his, and David's a really nice gentleman who very much appreciates the recognition.
So much happening during tournament week besides the golf. Four Fest Friday and Saturday evenings after the tournament down at Bridge Park. And if you're down in that area, you're telling me about old Dublin, the Historical Society. They have something interesting.
Absolutely.
On the tournament.
Yeah, so we couldn't be more appreciative of what Bridge Park has become, and Crawford Horn, and what they've created, and the city of Dublin, and what they've created. It's become an extension of the Memorial Tournament in a lot of different ways. So, you know, when folks come into Dublin and they want to experience the Memorial, they need to experience Bridge Park too. So you'll see a bunch of our branding within that space. We focus on the Four Fest being a really fun family atmosphere, street festival on Friday and Saturday. We contribute by having a drone show on Friday night that's really cool to watch. Just a fun place to be. And then, yeah, we've partnered with Dublin and the Dublin Historical Society. They couldn't be more gracious to us and accommodating to recognize what the memorials contributed. And Muirfield Village has contributed to Dublin. The two of them really grew up together, right? The last 50 years, Dublin has become an incredible destination, place to live, work, and have fun. And so at the Historical Society, they've dedicated a couple rooms to recognize all the contribution that's happened over the years. One part that's really interesting is just the individual who created the landscape strategy or master plan on how Dublin is, or how Muirfield is set up with all the different paths and trees and all the different tunnels that are around here to allow residents to move around the development. And it's really unique and interesting to take a look at.
Dan, we started by talking about the 50 years of this tournament. It's really unbelievable. So much has changed as far as how it's evolved. It's now a signature event on the PGA Tour. The landscape of professional golf, we all know, will continue to evolve and change a bit. The tour will continue to evolve with it. We've already heard about some schedule changes on the front end. Yep. You can't envision anything ever happening to this event of any major status as far as movement on the calendar or anything. Are we pretty much settled right here?
Yeah, we've worked really hard to make sure that the PGA Tour understands the value of this tournament in its current position. And that's we spent a lot of time talking to them about understanding what Jack has created in this event, how it is one of the more valuable properties in the PGA Tour lineup. They recognize that. I've communicated, Jack's communicated very distinctly that this time of year is when this golf tournament needs to be. It's the right time for our community. It's the right time weather. It's the right time for players to peak and to have focus on their game. And we're working hard to make sure that that's the case, right? So it's we're working on a daily basis, a weekly basis, to ensure that the PGA Tour doesn't lose sight of what the memorial does to contribute to its overall brand.
The other thing not to lose sight of, I mean, there's so much money involved with an event like this, but the money raised for charity, Dan, over the years and what it continues to do for Nationwide Children's Hospital and more, just continues to be another great staple of what this event's all about.
No question. I mean, Jack and Barbara were one of the first in the beginning when they created this event to dedicate dollars to charity that wasn't a norm back in 1976. They saw the value in the relationship between the volunteers that were representing then Columbus Children's Hospital and now Nationwide Children's Hospital. And so over time, that relationship has grown. We've given over $45 million and we're just getting started. Nationwide Children's is an incredible partner with us. All of the individuals who look at the hospital as being a entity that they want to support, and they want to support it through the Memorial Tournament. And we couldn't be more appreciative of the 3,900 volunteers that come out here to help us out. And then all of the different events that we put on, and people react well to them, whether it's our four-miler, whether it's the Legends Luncheon that happened 2 weeks ago, whether it is our concert with Luke Bryan that is sold out. All of those events, the bear that we put out every year and sell, all of those offerings allow for the community to support Nationwide Children's, have some fun doing it, along with the Memorial Tournament.
Dan Sullivan, you and your team are the best as far as what you do up here at Muirfield Village, putting on the Memorial Tournament every year. I've been saying it for years, almost all 50 years. I've been on the air for all that time, but we're darn near
you
close.
You and
to
I both, right?
Don't ever take this event for granted, because it's something. It's very, very special. And for folks here in Central Ohio, sometimes it's easy to lose sight of how special this is outside of the Central Ohio area.
Yeah, no doubt. We are proud to represent it, number one. We're proud that so many people want to support it. We couldn't be more appreciative that the reaction every year continues to get better and better. We're proud of the way that we communicate to the world about what this community is all about and what Jack Nicklaus has done within the game of golf. And Jack wants to use the memorial as a platform for his legacy. You guys are great. Skip, you're awesome to talk about it throughout the year and to be out here with us so many times. And we love the partnership and look forward to a great week.
Dan Sullivan, we always appreciate your time. Have a great week coming
up.
Thank
you, Skip.
Good deal. All right, PGA Championship is happening this week. Let's get you warmed up right now with some chip shots.
97.1 The Fan's Tita Green Chip Shots, presented by BMI Federal Credit Union.
Arana Mink outside of Philly, the site of this year's PGA Championship. Two-way tie for the lead at 4 under par with Maverick McNealy and Alex Smalley. 69 Friday for Smalley, who said things played tough Friday but was happy to get out of there with a 69 and a share of the lead.
It was difficult. It was chilly this morning. The wind was up. Some of the hole locations are very difficult. They're right on the top of a crown. So, you know, you might have a putt that goes uphill, but once it gets to the hole, it starts going downhill. So I had a couple 15 or 20 footers up the hill today that I was really just trying to lag up near around the hole and try not to let it get away from me. It was difficult. I definitely would have taken a one under today before I teed off.
Six players are a shot back at minus three, including Chris Goderup, who fired a 65 Friday and knows things weren't easy.
Yeah, I felt like I grinded it out nice today and finished it off strong at the end with a couple birdies in a row. But yeah, even though I played pretty well today, I don't think it felt easy at any point out there. So happy with the round, obviously. And yeah, hopefully two more good days.
Seven more players are two shots back at minus two, including defending champion Scottie Scheffler, who was hoping for a better scoring day Friday, but was still happy with a 71 in tough conditions.
Hit the really nice shot into 17 to kind of get things going. Definitely feel like stealing at least a shot there with how hard that hole's playing with the wind and off the left. And was able to make a few birdies on the back nine. I wish I could have taken a couple more shots there going to the easier side of the course as the conditions were getting better. I wish I could have gotten a few more there, but overall I did some good stuff. It was still pretty gusty as we played our back nine, which was the front nine as well. So overall, just a challenging morning.
One of the neat things about the PGA Championship is the club pros who qualify. Central Ohio had two of them, including Ben Kern from Hickory Hills. Kern makes the cut at one over par 67 yesterday for Kern. He's just five shots back, tied for 30th. And Kern says it feels good to play well and has confidence he can hang with the best in the world.
Yeah, it just tells me, it shows me, it proves myself that I can hang with these guys when I'm playing solid. And it was really nice. I mean, I felt good yesterday. I didn't put up a good score, but the games, I hung my head high yesterday, and I had a goal today, and I surpassed it.
Good for Ben Kern. Again, all chasing your leaders, Maverick McNealy and Alex Smalley at four under par. Elsewhere this week, LPGA is down in Cincinnati. Amanda Doherty and Jin Young Ko at minus seven. They lead by one. Corn Ferry Tour in South Carolina, Blades Brown, Trent Phillips and Paul Peterson co-lead at minus eight. They lead by one. Former Buckeye Maxwell Moldovan six back at minus two to make the weekend. PGA Tour Americas in Peru, Connor Godsey minus 14. He is your leader there by one. College golf, congratulations to Coach Lisa Strom and the Ohio State women's golf team advanced this week to the NCAA championships next week out at La Costa. Your leaderboards are brought to you by BMI Federal Credit Union. Check them out at BMIFCU.org. Coming up, we'll head to Oranimink and hear some more from the PGA Championship with SI.com's Bob Herrig as Tee to Green continues here on The Fan.
If you miss a live show, you can catch the podcast. If you miss the podcast, our hosts have volunteered to have dinner with you.
Mara, the meatloaf!
The Fan. News. Jack has personally invited The Fan to the Memorial Tournament, and we're broadcasting 30 hours of live content, and we'll try not to embarrass ourselves.
Sponsored by Ohio for Responsible Gambling. Visit pausebeforeyouplay.org.
Fan weather.
From the Logan AC and Heat Services Weather Center.
Mostly cloudy with a few showers by mid-morning. That continues through the afternoon and a couple of thunderstorms possible as well. Highs will reach about 80 degrees. Overnight, a few showers, staying warm in the low 60s. On Sunday, even warmer with highs in the mid-80s. We'll have some sun, but an isolated shower or two is possible. And then our first 90 of the year on Monday, and it'll be a sunny day. I'm meteorologist Mike Joyce on 97.1 The Fan.
This is Tee to Green with Skip Mossick on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
Welcome back, everybody. As always, thanks for tuning in. We're broadcasting live this morning from Muirfield Village. Memorial Tournament just a couple of weeks away. More on that coming up in just a few. We have another great golf prize package that somebody's going to pick up this week. We have a round of golf to go play out at the Virtues. Balls from our friends at Titleist. Plenty of fan goodies we'll throw in there for you this week. No Twitter or X contest anymore. We'll have details shortly. And hopefully this great prize package will be yours.
This is Backspin. Tee to Green. Backspin.
Let's head to Philly right now. PGA Championship, and joined by SI.com's Bob Herrig. And Bob, let's start with the golf course. I know conditions have been challenging at times. What are your thoughts on Aronimink and how it's held up the first couple of days of this major championship?
Yeah, I think it's held up very well. Probably better than most, including the players, thought. There was some early week conjecture that the scoring might be really low. And look, it's supposed to be warmer over the weekend, and maybe with some hotter temperatures, the ball is farther. Guys have gotten used to the course a little more. But through 2 days, it's been a beast. And the weather has been chilly and windy and a little bit raw in the mornings, and the greens are very, very challenging. I mean, this is the Donald Ross hallmark, right? That's the designer of the course somewhat 100 years ago. You know, he built these crowned greens that probably didn't run at the speed we see today. And that makes them even more challenging.
Well, Bob, it seems like there's always some sort of an odd story surrounding the PGA Championship. Thursday was the Garrick Higo penalty for being late to the first tee. It's a pretty cut and dry rule, but do you kind of feel for him a bit? And I guess what were some of the conversations like with some of the other players and your counterparts there covering this?
Yeah, I feel for him. I mean, because he wasn't late in the absolute late, like you're running late, like you're running to the first tee, they're waiting for you. No, that wasn't the case.
Right.
I mean, he was basically right there. But he wasn't on the tee at the exact moment that the tee time was. And that's the rule. You can't be after that. So, like, if your tee time is 7:18, you really need to be on the tee at 7:17. It doesn't happen that much. And, I was looking back. I mean, you see this, once or twice a year in pro golf where somebody is late for a tee time and gets hit with two shots. And even more rare is when they get DQ'd, which is due to being more than 5 minutes late. Like if you're there, if your guys have teed off, the other guys have teed off and 5 minutes have gone by, you get disqualified. And that happens too, but not very often. So it's it's very I feel bad for him in that, like, it's not like he was scrambling or he was running late or he had the wrong time. That's where it usually happens. Like, a guy misreads his tee time. He thought it was 7:28, but it was 7:18, and he gets in his head that it's 7:28, and so he's thinking he's got plenty of time, and then all of a sudden it's like he's being called to the tee and he's late. And he's there, but no, he didn't have it. He was like literally, 10 yards away and just not recognizing that he was in trouble. And that's, I just you just hope that it doesn't impact him much beyond that, because that's a tough way to lose two shots.
Well, Bob, heading into today, so many players really compressed together. We've often seen guys, win their first or sometimes their only major there at the PGA. Of the non-major winners in contention, who do you think might be, in the best position to claim their first major?
Well, I mean, Chris Goddard shot 65 on Friday, which is, pretty stout around this place, When he did that, and there hadn't been anybody below 3 under, and he went 5 under. I think if you can do that once, that has to give you some confidence. And it also, it also gave him a little bit of breathing room. I mean, when you shoot a low score like that, he can shoot around par over the weekend and maybe be right in the game still. So, that's a guy that I kind of like. Minwoo Lee has sort of been knocking on the door, maybe has been a bit of an underachiever for what we say about him. There's another guy without a major. But you're right. This is the major that kind of produces the most likely chance for somebody to break through or win their first. And, that's really just down to the fact that it's the deepest field. It's the deepest field of the majors. You know, they had 97 of the top 100 here to start the week. I mean, you know, that's more than the Players' Championship, which is probably the next strongest field. So, you know, anybody in the top 100 in the world can win one of these things. And if there's more of them in the field, when that increases the chances. So, you know, I don't think it's any surprise if we have somebody coming down the stretch who's never won one before, maybe somebody you didn't even think of before.
SI.com's Bob Herrig joins us from the PGA Championship. Tee to Green here on The Fan. And, you know, Bob, we're at Muirfield Village here this morning ahead of the Memorial Tournament in a couple of weeks. And it's kind of a nice tie into your latest book, you know, now on sale, Tiger versus Jack, The Great Debate. Of course, Tiger Woods, so much success here at Jack's Place. But tell us about the book project, some of the great stories, and I guess what are some of the things that you can share about the book?
Yeah, look, I really do think it's a great debate. It will continue to be. I think that debate has shelf life, you know, and I'm not sure that it's ever going to be determined one way or the other. If Tiger had somehow matched Jack in majors or surpassed him, then I don't think there would be a debate. But the fact that he came up short means to me that it leaves open the door for an argument. Now, some people will say, well, look, Jack won more majors than Tiger. He's the greatest. Well, I think Jack is the greatest champion. But there's argument to be made for Tiger being the greatest golfer, and that's sort of what I try to dive into. You know, how did we get to this point? Like, why do the majors matter? How did they evolve? You know, how is it that Jack got so far out in front and, you know, without a whole lot of attention paid to the majors in that early in his career? You know, I think Jack would say and has said, if he had a goal to chase, he might have won more. You know, and so I get into all of that. You know, Jack's longevity trumps Tiger's, but you know, by a lot. Jack never missed majors in his prime. Well, look at all the majors Tiger's missed.
Right.
You know, look at right now. Even I mean, even at age 50, like if Tiger were healthy, there'd probably be some thought that he could catch lightning in a bottle and win one of these things. But you can't win them if you don't play, you know, and Jack never missed. Whereas Tiger, I think, had higher level of dominance, you know, winning four straight majors, winning a U.S. Open by 15 and a Masters by 12. Those are things that Jack didn't do. So, you know, I kind of go back and forth. I make the point that I think I could argue for either one. I also get into some of the other greats that maybe are at least in the discussion, like Walter Hagen, who third all time in majors and won all of his majors before the Masters really even existed. And obviously Bobby Jones, who the first player to win what was considered a Grand Slam, and Ben Hogan, who a lot like Tiger, except he did have success, had a severe car accident. Mm-hmm. And after that accident, Ben Hogan never played more than 9 or 10 times a year. And yet he won six of his majors after it, six of his nine majors. I mean, what could he have done without that? You know, he missed basically a whole year of golf. And then he was limited after that. You know, maybe he'd have won 12 or something like that if he hadn't gone through that. So I get into all those different topics, and I hope people appreciate the nuance that's involved in talking about, you know, a great barroom debate.
Tiger versus Jack, The Great Debate. It is on sale right now. Would make a great Father's Day gift coming up next month. SI.com's Bob Herrig. Thank you so much, Bob, for joining us from the PGA this morning. Safe travels, and we look forward to seeing you here at Muirfield Village for this year's Memorial Tournament in a couple of weeks, okay?
Good deal. Thanks for having me, Skip.
All right, let's go ahead and give away this week's golf prize package right now. We have a round of golf to go play out at the Virtues. Balls from our friends at Titleist. Plenty of fan goodies will throw in there for you as well. Caller number 9 right now, 614-821-9710, 614-821-9710. Caller number 9 will be our winner if you or any member of your household have not won in the past 30 days, so good luck to you. Coming up next here at Muirfield Village, we will hit the range with our head golf professional here at Muirfield, Peter Dornish. That is next as Tee to Green continues here on The Fan.
The Big Nine was a sad, incomplete play. place. Enter Ohio State. The rest is history. The Buckeye Show.
Weeknights at 6.
The Fan.
Delaware County
Fan have created a show where you can be a homer, a hater, or whatever you want to be. Sunday mornings at 8.
It's the Fan Call-In Show, presented by the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Columbus. Must be 21. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966.
All your favorite fan shows are available when you want them.
Head to 971thefan.com and hit that subscribe button.
The Fan, Ohio sports destination. Miss it, Noonan. Miss it. This is Tita Green with Skip Mossick on The Fan.
And welcome back, everybody. Thanks, as always, for tuning in. We're broadcasting from Muirfield Village this morning. Congratulations to Pete up in Powell. Pete was caller 9, picks up the round of golf to go play out at the Virtues, balls from Titleist, and more. Plenty of fan goodies we'll throw in there, so congratulations, Pete. We'll have another prize package coming up next week. All right, favorite part of the show now. Let's hit the range.
You are listening to Tita Green's On the Range.
Joined on the range this morning, Peter Dornish, the head golf professional here at Muirfield Village. What do you know? It's raining. We're at Muirfield. It's raining. Better to rain now than in a couple of weeks like this. Boy, it was pretty heavy when they just came through here.
Yeah, it came down quick. But let's get it out of the way. Yes. I think we're below average on moisture, but you're talking to Chad next, so you can go over that with him.
He'll be in a peachy mood coming up as he's all wet. Tell us about the duties of the host professional during tournament week, Peter.
Yeah, host professional, it's really that's the wintertime job for me. We get ready to do all the merchandising. I have myself, two merchandisers, and six PGA professionals that work for me, and that's our winter job. We buy and supply the tournament with all of its merchandising. We actually added two new retail locations this year, so we forecasted that into our sales. We're going to have an auxiliary tent right next to our main pro shop that we partnered with a local brand called Ransom Supply. And then we'll have a retail location that's actually returning after 5 or 6 years, which is located in our tournament parking lot near the 6th tee box. So two new retail locations for us this year. Exciting new build outs for that. And we partnered with brands like Abercrombie and Ransom Supply to bring these to the tournament this year.
Speaking of new, and I mean, they say, well, I already have some Muirfield Village gear or Memorial Tournament gear, especially logo this year for the 50th anniversary.
Yeah, about half of what we purchased this year has the 50th anniversary logo. It's really exciting to celebrate. I mean, not too many tournaments on the PGA Tour have been running this long. It's a unique logo. It's only going to be available this year. You'll see some unique items as well, like coffee table books celebrating the anniversary, and then just some other commemorative pieces. There is also a bear raising charity this year named Maltby that has the original pants that Roger Maltby's been wearing. So purchase a bear, pick up a coffee table book. We'll also have some commemorative posters as well to celebrate the 50th.
Golf course looks terrific. Any major changes, subtle changes from folks since they were here last year?
Small change on the 15 tee and complex. Our member tee got 2 yards longer, and then the back tee, the memorial tee, got 10 yards longer. And then we added, we meaning Chad and his team, added some extra square footage just so that we can have the guys with some fancy footwork give them some new turf every day to play from.
Tons of great vantage points for spectators when they come here. Many natural amphitheater hillsides, which makes this place so great anyways. Do you have any favorite places? I mean, you grew up out here. As far as just going out and just to check out, say, hey, I got my own little place where I like to go hang out for a little bit.
I think my family and I, we'd hang out mostly behind 9 Green. You're close to the clubhouse. You're close to the first tee. You got 10 right there. It's really a congregation of a lot of people. You're close to the merchandise as well. I would say behind 9 Green's a great place to watch. It's a difficult shot down the hill there onto the green. That green's really pitched back to front. It's hard to read for the players, so you can see a lot of great shots and some missed putts on that green for sure.
Peter, you grew up around here. Favorite memory for you just as a kid as far as this golf tournament? It might be something completely different than some people might even be thinking about.
Yeah, putting me on the spot.
That's what I do.
I mean, for me, I think the greatest memories, which goes back a long ways to when I was young, was seeing Jack play this place. Mm-hmm. I was fortunate enough to play with Jack once around this golf course. He still rides with us every day when we play the Sunday before, but I did get to play with Jack once. I saw him play the Memorial. I saw him play his last round out here. And to see that was really cool. The guy that designed the golf course founded the tournament. To see Jack play, especially being younger, just an inspiration. He's the greatest champion to ever play the game.
We talked about your favorite, but when, as far as growing up here, being involved here, when did even you realize how special of an event this was?
And continues to be.
Yeah, it continues to be one of the best venues and one of the best tournaments on tour. I mean, from a young age, you kind of have to remove yourself for a little bit. You get numb to how cool this place is and how difficult the golf course is. But just coming back and being out of the state of Ohio for 14 years, really coming back is when you really notice how special it is. And then you hear it from the players. I mean, they'll tell you these are the best greens they play all year, including the majors. They're beautiful bent grass putting surfaces. Everybody's here just enjoying their time. And then it's just a fair place to play golf. I think you're going to see high single digits to around 10 under be the number again this year. The golf course is going to play very similar to the way it did last year. The PGA players, the tour players, they praise this place as well as the staff, and it's just a very fair test of golf.
The golf course itself is spectacular. It always has been. The design, the layout has always been terrific. One of the things, again, I always love talking about, I love talking with players when they're here for the week, is the practice facility. I mean, it's not just a driving range. I mean, my goodness, I always tell a story of, you know, visiting with Payne Stewart a number of years ago, talking to him. It's like, have you really looked at this range? This is the best range in the world where you can basically go on practice in any wind and any condition you want.
Yeah, Jack's smart with the way he practiced. He always wanted to recreate shots out on the golf course, and you can do that on our practice facility. It's 270 degrees around. You can hit into the prevailing wind, down in the prevailing wind, across. You can really recreate any shot you want on our practice facility. It's an amazing place to practice, and now with us being a signature field, I mean, those guys are spoiled with how much room they have when they come here.
Peter Dornish, head golf professional here at Muirfield Village. Peter, we always appreciate your time. Thanks for the stories and the memories, and we look forward to seeing you back out here in a couple of weeks, okay?
Thank you, Skip.
Coming up, again, the man who's in charge of maintaining this beautiful facility at Muirfield Village, Chad Mark, Director of Grounds, will join us as Tee to Green continues here on The Fan.
If you consider yourself a Buckeye fan, you've come to the right place. This is your heritage sports talker and home of Ohio State Athletics, The Fan, Ohio's sports destination.
Aaron, Ivan.
Ben has a secret radio station. It's called The Fan 2. You can listen to the Bob and Tom Show, Jim Rome, and Buckeye stuff. Why do they pay me big money to whisper? The Fan 2 is on The Fan's HD2 channel and streaming on The Fan app. You're welcome. The two most mature people working at the radio station. And that's just because they wear pants.
The pervert and the skivvies.
Rothman and Ice.
Weekdays at noon.
The Fan. He may be short off the tee, but he can sure use his putter. This is Tee to Green with Skip Mossick on The Fan, Ohio sports destination.
And welcome back, everybody. We are broadcasting this morning from Muirfield Village Golf Club. Memorial Tournament just a couple of weeks away. Joined for a few minutes by Chad Mark, who is the Director of Grounds here at Muirfield Village. And do you cringe when I say we're just a couple of weeks away, or do you feel like a deep breath saying we're ready?
No, we're ready. it's nice now that some of the colleges are getting out and we're getting most of our staff here. This last, you know, 5-6 weeks has been the real grind. And so where we're at right now, we feel pretty good about where we're going to be in the next 2 weeks.
Weather here will always determine as far as what things grow, how they grow. It was wet, then it was dry, and it's wet again this morning right now. What do you prefer this time of year? And I guess, are you ready for anything as far as what Mother Nature is going to throw at you?
You know, this is my 10th Memorial, 11th overall, and I think that you just have to control the controllables. Obviously, we're not in control of the weather, and we have seen about every variable you can see. And when we dive into the data, Skip, it's funny because the last 3 years have been very, very different. 23 was very dry, probably the driest one I've done. Mm-hmm. Then a moderately wet in 24 and a really wet in 25. And, you know, the scoring average was all in the 72.3 to 72.5 for the whole tournament. And winners were 7, 8, and 10. So this golf course holds up well to no matter what happens. We just have to adapt to what we get.
With the structures that go on out here for, you know, the suites and the sky boxes and whatnot, your team doesn't have to do that, do they? Or do you have to, like, make sure that
those who are setting it up don't go a certain place.
Yeah, we have power, we have telephone, we have fiber, we have irrigation system. So we have Andy Caprosi dedicated to go out there and track all that, make sure that they don't hit something, somebody gets hurt or something happens to our infrastructure. So we work closely with the contractors to make sure that they don't mess anything up. But it's an ordeal. I mean, they start the last week of March, and our members put up with a lot. You know, they deal with all their spring golf, you know, with contractors racing by, and then all of June and July to really kind of get it down. So it's a big undertaking for sure.
One thing they're dealing with right now, they deal with it every April and May, and that is the rough. We were out here last week for the media day, and my wrists and arms are still sore trying to hit out of that stuff. You grinned because I know it's a labor of love for you watching that stuff grow.
We've worked really hard to make sure the rough is dense. And
our
members put up with that too. But, you know, the problem is if you wait until the last week to say, okay, we're going to raise the mowers a half inch or an inch or whatever it might be, it just gets patchy. It doesn't get to a uniform height. So we have to do that several weeks in advance to make sure that it's what it needs to be. And, you know, it's funny because everybody's struggling with it right now here, obviously members, but someone's still going to shoot 64 or 63 or something like that, and it's going to be like, how do they do it? But that's how good they are.
It's amazing. Chad Mark, Director of Grounds here at the Muirfield Village, our guest this morning, Tee to Green here on The Fan. We ask you this every year, but people always want to know, when does the tour come in as far as the final setup, as far as the rough is going to be this high? We're going to measure it to make sure that you guys do what they want you to do prior to the event.
You know, there's communication now. I mean, I talked to our agronomist yesterday. I talked to Steve Rintoul this week. You know, we're always in communication. We always want them to know where we're at with things. You know, we're trying to pinpoint exactly where the last cut of rough will be. We know the height, but it's like, when do we stop and when do we let it go for the rest of the week? And those things start to happen Memorial Day this year. That's our called our advance week. So we'll be working very closely with them at that point, and they'll be here for 2 weeks, and we'll make sure it's protected, and the whole locations, we've already started to protect those. So we kind of know where they're going to go, and it's just the fine-tuned stuff at that point.
Tougher week for you, the week before the tournament, the week of the tournament?
The month of May in general. April and May is really it, because you don't have your staff yet. And we have a great team this year, the deepest team we've ever had. But you know, that group that you have that's kind of your full-time group does all of the heavy lifting in the spring with April and early May. And then, you know, there's a lot of people that join our staff here as staff size doubles, and we're in good shape for that. But those guys did the heavy lifting.
Chad Mark, Director of Grounds, one of the best in the business as far as what he does. Place looks spectacular. We look forward to the tournament week coming up in a couple of weeks, okay?
Thanks, Kip.
Chad Mark, again, thanks for having us out here at Muirfield Village this morning here on The Fan. If you missed any part of today's show, simply download the Tee to Green podcast. You can find it wherever you find your favorite podcast, and be sure to hit subscribe. You can find it wherever, again, your favorite podcasts are. Just search Tee to Green. Busy day ahead here on The Fan. Fan Sports Saturday is next. Reds Guardians later today in Cleveland. For Nate Puderball and Eric Mosley, I'm Skip Mossick. Enjoy the golf this weekend. We'll talk to you again next Saturday morning for another edition of Tee to Green here on The Fan.
I'll be in church next Sunday to save me from those double bogey blues.
There's nothing Bo Bishop can't do well, except find competent co-hosts. Bishop and Friends.
Weekdays from 9 to noon. The